Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Earlier this week, images of the flooding in Toronto filled the news. A torrential rainstorm overwhelmed the sewer system, causing massive power outages, closing major roads, costing millions to the city, businesses, and homeowners. It is also a vivid example of stormwater management. That is the ability of municipal infrastructure to get rid of water when it rains or snow melts. Coburg is embroiled in a controversial change as to how it funds that infrastructure. In this interview, you will meet one of many critics of the proposed system. Colleen Bell, a spokesperson for a group of residents opposed to the changes, will share her journey from quiet resident to vocal opponent. I'm so pleased to have with me today Colleen Bell, an outspoken critic of stormwater fees. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Let's start at the very beginning. How did you first learn about the changes to stormwater fees?
Well, I will confess, I didn't learn about it until last November, so November 2023, when I saw that my utility bill had quite a large amount taken from it that I certainly wasn't expecting. It was about three times as much as I would normally pay for my electricity bill. I'm outside the service area, so I don't have sewer or water, so just electricity. And from there, I started kind of digging around going, why is my bill so high? I spoke with Lakefront Utilities or Lucy and friends and came to find out that we had a stormwater fee attached. It wasn't until December that the town's pamphlet actually arrived in the mail. So I'd already been charged one installment before I even got any sort of notification. And so by the time the second one came with the pamphlet, I was sufficiently, I guess, angry, but I think annoyed is probably at that point the bigger piece.
Can you share with us, before you go on too much further, how much was that change?
So my yearly fee, when I dug in with Lakefront Utilities, would have been just under $1,000, so $988 a year for 2023.
You mentioned you got angry. What was your first thing that sort of crossed your mind to do?
Well, so when I first got my own bill, my first thought was, oh my gosh, that's a mistake. Don't they know I don't even live in the service area and I've got this 2.6 acre property and I manage my own stormwater, much of my property's floodplain. And so I just went, oh my goodness, I need to let Public Works know and they'll just fix it. Like, very naive. First of all, if you go in, you can do an impact reassessment. The only thing that reassessment does is tell you that your property size is correct, which I already knew. So that was frustrating. I did try to phone Public Works and email, and I got no response. So at that point, I just thought, oh, this is going to get fixed very quickly. I'm annoyed, but it's an individual problem. But when I came to learn, when I finally did get the pamphlet, that it was based on property size. As I say, I have 2.6 acres and they were going to charge us just under $1,000. I immediately became very worried about my elderly neighbor, friend and neighbor, Helen, up a little bit further up our road. She's got just under 20 acres. I went, oh no, if this is how much we're being charged, what is she going to be charged? And so I phoned her, and sure enough, her bill was going to be closer to $7,000 a year. And then she told me about yet another elderly neighbor and somebody retired, fixed income, quite elderly, actually. And he also has quite a large property. And his fee was close to $7,000 a year. And because he had automatic payment, $3,000 in November, December, just straight out of his bank account. And I was that's the point where I actually was angry and very upset. I have elderly neighbors with properties that they've cared for and worked for, and I was actually just shocked.
Tell us about the property you own. You mentioned it was 2.6 acres, but can you describe it to us?
Yeah, well, the first piece, since we're going to talk about impervious surface on my property. So my house, my detached garage, and my it's a long driveway, but it makes up about 10% of my property only. The rest of the property is we've got a cosmetic part, so there's lawns and gardens and lots of trees. But Midtown Creek runs through our property directly north to south, and so like the full length of our property, but then alongside that it's floodplain, and so the town has designated that as environmental constraint through MPAC. It's actually a natural heritage feature, and so floodplain, of course, is a stormwater management system, right? It actually, when there's rain, I am not I, but my stream, my property, is holding water back for the town to prevent flooding, and so that's floodplain and stream area makes up about a third of our property. And then again, the rest of it's wooded, forested. Yeah, if I can keep talking, it's a really neat little property. We abut onto Nickerson Woods, so it's a flicker migration zone. Over the 15 years that we've lived here, we've planted about 500 trees. So we're pretty active just on our own little sanctuary, I guess, taking down invasive species and trying to do some natural habitat.
Would you mind sharing what road you're on?
Yeah, I'm on Danforth Road, and I've made that very public throughout everything. I've very much used as being an outspoken person for stormwater management. I very much used our smaller property as an example for everybody else.
Now, the original bylaw was passed in 2022 under the old council. Did you respond to the original stormwater charge at all?
No. Unfortunately, no. I guess what I would say right off the hop is I am at fault for that. And one of the big things that I have learned from this whole process is how important it is to pay attention to local government, what's going on. So 2022, when it was being passed, it was COVID. We really, as you know, don't have a consistent source of local news, so I think that's a problem. And then lots of excitement in the national and international news. I was not paying attention, nor were most of the people that I have then become in contact with, right? The adversely affected property owners. But if I could just say, there were delegations at the time who. So the Coburg Tax Association, they came forth before the bylaw was passed three different times and pointed out that there were errors in the consultant's report. So there was misclassification of properties. I'd like to talk about cemeteries, actually. So cemeteries were one of those. But they also noted for the current council that there were those outlier properties that would be charged excessively. And I haven't mentioned, but when we're talking about excessive fees, if mine's about $1,000, the largest, the most adversely affected property owner that I have met for 2023 had a charge of $30,000 for working agricultural land. So it was the past council. They were aware. They were made aware of the problems of the fee calculation, but it was ignored.
Tell us how this coalition of people started to come together.
One of the first things I did was I started digging around into local news and social media. So it was through social media I started meeting with other people saying, yeah, I've been charged $1,000. I've been charged $2,000. What are we going to do? I also I read John Draper's blog. That was really instrumental for me in learning the history of the stormwater management that I had missed in 2022. But that also put me in connection with other knowledgeable and adversely affected property owners. So I was connecting with other people, but I did start a change.org petition. It's called Stop Coburg Stormwater Fee Gouge. I got about 500 signatures, solidly half of them were Coburg residents. Much of it was done online, but I also went banging on doors with my elderly friend, Helen. She knows everybody in Coburg, so she got us through the doors of everybody. And I did get specific signatures, but also really networking with people. That was a great way to meet more adversely affected people, just that face-to-face. So the petition, as I say, about half were solidly Coburg residents who signed, but quite a number from Hamilton Township. So they're paying attention.
Was there anybody that pushed back against your efforts at this early stage?
Only the mayor, but otherwise, no.
The first time you appeared before a council to make a deputation?
The petition and then the delegation, which I co-presented actually with an adversely affected family with agricultural land. We co-presented and we asked for a $200 cap on larger properties. And we just asked for a fee recalculation straight across the board, which at the January town council in full, they did pass that. They asked that, so Watson's and Associates is the financial consultant responsible for the report. So town sent it back to them to look at the feasibility of a $200 cap, but just to look at some other options to level the playing field.
Just for the listeners, when we're talking about this, we're talking about when it rains or snows, yeah, and then it melts and all of it goes up and ends up into our stormwater system, our grates, yeah, that we see on the street, and then it goes down. And that's a system that the town has to maintain.
That's
and
right.
When you're talking about impervious surfaces, you're talking about the inability of that rain. It all has to go into the stormwater system.
That's right.
Whereas a property like yours, while you have a little bit, 10%, the rest of it's all natural ground and it kind of filters in there. Some of it runs,
yes,
off, but that's what we're talking about. Am I correct?
Off. That's right. Yeah. And so that's absolutely correct. And what we're talking about is what they refer to as gray infrastructure. So the man-made, the stormwater sewers, the pipes, the grit ponds, right? The things that prevent flooding. So we must have stormwater management. But there's also green infrastructure, which isn't formally recognized by the town of Coburg at this time, but my property absolutely fits in as a green stormwater management asset to the town.
Because it helps hold water, it helps filter water and all that.
That's
stuff.
Right.
Good. When watching your presentations, you offer a lot of detail. Just very quickly, how much time did you put in to prepare for that first meeting in January?
So first of all, I am part of, as you mentioned, a whole coalition. So as I collected people, I have met with very knowledgeable people who are skilled writers and speakers and researchers and consultants of different sorts, the Coburg Taxpayers Association. So with that group of people, I couldn't tell you the number of hours, but we've had lengthy meetings as a group. I've put together presentations and then practiced them, obviously with my husband, but with that same group, we've edited and gone over things hours and hours. I do work full time, so it really has felt like a second full time job, to be honest, at times.
How would you characterize the mayor's comments at that first January meeting?
He's referred to it as capital gains, an advance on capital gains. There's an assumption that because property values have gone up and we have large properties, that we must be very wealthy people who can afford to pay the fees, which of course is, I'm a high school teacher. My husband works at Post. We're working people. My neighbor Helen up the road is retired fixed income. And of course we have agricultural landowners who are literally working the land and using it as their income. So it's not a fair statement.
After the January council meeting, what happened next? What were the steps that you took after that?
Well, after that, it was kind of a waiting game. We were told it would be a couple of months before the consultant came back, and then we'd have to wait for them to create a new report. So we didn't have a timeline. So the waiting was a little bit nerve-wracking, to be honest, for a couple of reasons. One was that, so first of all, many of us have not paid our stormwater fees. So for using myself as an example, I put my name to a $200 cap. I have paid $200 for 2023. I, with the help of Lakefront Utilities, I was able to separate my electricity bill from my stormwater fee. So I am currently in stormwater fee arrears at about $1,200 between 2023-24. So with that in mind, there are other much larger property owners who have done similar things in not paying. And so, of course, if I keep going back to the agricultural landowner with the $30,000 fee, he has not paid. And so there was a waiving of interest until June. So we were quite concerned that June was going to come and go and the interest would be back on. So I actually three different times asked for a waiving of interest fees on unpaid stormwater. So we were successful in getting that in June, at the end of June.
Now, I understand you also in April sent a letter to council.
Yes.
So you were saying you were waiting, but you were still active
Very
around
much,
this
yeah.
portfolio. Did you feel you were getting some movement during this in-between period through your
No.
activism?
No, I didn't. One of the things that we were looking for was just an update on whether or not the consultant was actually working on the report. It turns out they were, but I was, as a motion in March, staff was to let me know so I could convey that information to everybody else. And I never did receive confirmation that Watson's was actually working on things. I found out in a backhanded way from somebody else's email. So I did not get that information. And so no, we continued to be concerned that we weren't being heard and listened to, and that it was maybe just being sort of waved under the rug, as they say. So we did in March, as well as asking for, I guess, the waiving of interest fees, we did put out some, legal challenges that were potential if issues weren't resolved.
Do you feel that there was a lot of frustration by people that was being vented?
Certainly, in fairness, though, I mean, people have been charged thousands of dollars, so that there is a frustration and a stress level, absolutely.
Okay.
And a side comment, the other gentleman, the elderly gentleman that I was telling you about, who lives a little further up Danforth Road, his neighbors were so concerned about his stress level. So people who also have stormwater fees, but perhaps not as adversely affected, they have been checking in on him as a sort of a neighborhood watch since January, when all of this money was taken from his account. They've been quite concerned about his stress levels, and they have, as a group, chosen to not pay stormwater fees until there is an equitable fix.
Let's talk a little bit about these preferred options because it was very complicated. It seems like one option
Complicated.
was trying to spread the charges across all property owners in option C. And then while option B focused more on placing higher fees with commercial, industrial, condos, and apartments. Is that a fair characterization just in generalities? I know there's a lot of specifics in there, but in general, was that the kind of shift you were seeing, or was there more to it that I'm missing?
Well, first of all, an option B commercial, actually, I don't have it in front of me, sorry. Industrial actually takes on a lower burden in option B. So that's good. I mean, we want to keep business in town. But what's a little bit misleading when we say that more people in commercial and high density will pay is because they will, but they won't pay that much more. So, for example, residential people who live in, so high residential people living in Coburg, they're only paying under the current formula about $35 a year. So, and the same if you're a smaller commercial place under an acre, you might also be paying 35, somewhere between $35 and $60. So what we're asking is that people actually pay that same flat fee of $86. And so we're really talking about less than a $5 a month charge for those different property owners. As far as condos go, that seems to kind of get mixed in with different things. It's not that every condo owner needs to pay, in my opinion anyway, $86. That should be based on the building size, property size, and then divided up amongst the owners. So I think the fix to that is relatively simple.
The mayor predicted a pushback from commercial landowners. Do you think he's right?
No, and just for the reason that I just said. First of all, the proportion that commercial is paying currently under the current formula and what will happen with B, option B, the preferred option, is not significant. But as I already said, the increase to those properties who will see an increase, it will be less than $5 a month.
Councillors and the mayor seemed to engage in a debate about the final decision. When you watched that debate unfold over the option B, option C, what was your takeaway?
I made me a little cynical, to be honest. I mean, I'm very happy that we won the day, and certainly I could see which councillors were really getting really were understanding that impervious surface fee for service. But option, we had access to the records, obviously, prior to the meeting. And in the Watson report, there was only an option A and an option B. I prepared my presentation around those. Our responses, our collective responses that came through me, were based around only option A and option B. And option C was sprung on us. I was given a photocopy of it during the meeting. So while other issues were being talked about and discussed, we had our calculators out and I was taking pictures and sending it around the gallery. That was our first sight of it. And it seemed clear to me that some of town council were very much in the know on option C and others not as much. There were a couple of councillors who said, I haven't had time to study option C. I prefer option B. And I, so you say, what was my response? My, again, a little cynical. It felt unfair, I guess that's the word I'll go with, that this option C was presented at the very last moment.
How do you feel about the current status of the fees?
I feel hopeful. I think that's the best. We will, obviously, there's a summer pause. Public Works and Lakefront Utilities is to be looking at the billing going back, recalculating back to 2024. So I'm hopeful that what comes out of that is exactly what is on paper, that we get the flat fees and it is what it is. I continue to be concerned about 2023. There's been no commitment for a recalculation fully to that. And I do understand the problems around it. It's not just paying money back. It potentially means asking other people to pay more, right? If they under the current under option B, if they've been then undercharged. So I am hopeful that they will very much rebate property owners like the $30,000 agricultural landowner, things like that.
Is this a victory?
It feels like a start, but I think we're not going to fully know and not really fully celebrate until the end of September when it all plays out. So I to be continued, but I'm hopeful.
So, what unfinished business do you think exists?
So the bylaw still needs to be written. They've passed option B, but they still have to write a bylaw around that. They are looking at how to do the billing, and we still don't have a clear answer on 2023.
Colleen Bell, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to let you know what the opposition has been up to. Appreciate it.
That was Colleen Bell, a Coburg resident and critic of Stormwater Fees. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.